Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. Your Scofield Reference Bible, page 478. 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, page 478 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the first four verses responsively, and then we'll read yet another verse in the same chapter. Stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as we always do. We'll read these four verses responsively. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Let's read verse 14 together. Ready? So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And let's pray. And Father, we come here week by week, and our expectations are always high. In a sense, we're spoiled if we come expecting great things, and yet without prayer and without a burden, we have no right to the blessing that is a part of this place. We do expect great things. Help us to share in the work and the burden of the work. God bless our preacher today. God bless our people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, how nations are destroyed. How nations are destroyed. When America is destroyed, it'll not be because of the queer crowd. That's godless sin and not a choice lifestyle. But that's not what will destroy America. When America is destroyed, it'll not be destroyed by the baby murders. Are you listening to me? Though it's murder, bloody murder, and every doctor that performs one ought to be put in the electric chair. And for a nation to consider a surgeon general who has the blood of scores of children on his dirty hands just shows how rotten the man is that sits in the White House. But that's not what destroys the nation. The liquor traffic will not destroy America. The rock music culture, though it's as rotten as the devil, it'll not destroy America. God's people destroy a nation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God's people can save a nation in spite of the queers, in spite of the baby murders, in spite of the rock music culture, whether it's in a church or in a rock concert, regardless of what words it has on it. In the text read a while ago, God tells us the story of Israel being destroyed, 70,000 people being destroyed, killed, all because one little decision that David made when Satan came and said, "Number the people." I don't have time to go into what it means to number the people. That's not the issue here. The issue is that one decision of one man caused the death of 70,000 people. I want you to listen to me as I speak on the subject, how nations are destroyed. Father, bless me this morning and my people and those who share with us in this hour. May reality grip our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I probably make at least 500 decisions every week, any one of which could affect and make or break thousands of people. It's uncanny. I sit in my office and I'm talking to a young preacher boy, graduating from Howells Anderson College in 3 months. And I advise him and counsel him about where he should go or what he should do. I do not know if he's the next Billy Sunday or not. I do not know if he's the next Rick Martin or not. I don't know. And in counseling with that fellow, that one decision I help him make could affect, for good or for bad, hundreds of thousands of people. I sit in my office and make, I'm sure, at least 500 decisions a week. And I tremble in fear lest I make a mistake that could cause heartache, heartbreak, and ruin to many people. Satan comes to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve had no idea that day she was going to make a decision that would affect so many. She had no idea that day that her decision would cause untold millions to burn in hell forever. How did Satan approach Eve? He came to Eve, and the first thing he did, he misquotes the words of God. God had said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." That's what God said. Now here's what the devil said God said. He said, "Hath not God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now what did he do? He misquoted the Bible. And he has been behind every other version of the Bible since that day. He changes the Bible. I mean, I hold in my hand the preserved words of God Almighty. Any diversion from this is satanic. That means the American Standard Version is inspired by the devil. That means the Revised Standard Version is inspired by the devil. That means the New International Version is inspired by the devil. That means the New Scofield Version is inspired by the devil. That means that the New King James is inspired by the devil. The devil came to Eve and said, "Eve, hath not God said?" And he misquoted the words of God. Now, the next thing he did to Eve was this. He was advocating thought inspiration. He said, God did not say, "Hath not God said?" And he misquoted what God had said, but he had the same thought. But my Bible does not say, Jesus did not say in the Garden of Temptation, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every thought that proceedeth out of the mind of God." He didn't say that. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." If there's one word in that book that's not true, it could be any one word. Since I don't know what word it is, and you know what word it is, we've got to have a perfect book. And if I thought that book right there, every word of it, was not preserved by God Almighty, I'd close that book, I'd walk out that door, and I'd never preach a book again, because I've got to have a real Bible. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan comes to Eve. Little did she know that she held the entire race in her hand that day. And then he spiritualized the Word of God. First he changed it. Then he gave the same thought, but not the same word. Then he spiritualized it. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die. Thou shalt not surely die." See, he wants us to think that what the words the Bible say are symbolic. You see, if God in the Bible says fire, he means fire. If God says golden streets, he means golden streets. If God says heaven, he means heaven. If God says hell, he means hell. God's smart enough to tell us what he means. The fellow said,
Well, now, over in the book of Revelation 19, they're all going to come back riding on white horses. He's my professor in seminary. He said, we don't know those are really white horses. Well, God said they're white horses. He said it could be Sherman tanks. I said, you'll never know. Brother, what America needs is that book right there. Every word of it. Then he even suggested, Eve, that she put out the ESV. The EU Standard Version. He said, Eve, he changed the words. Then he put the thought, but not the words. And then he came and he spiritualized the Word of God. And then he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. What he's saying is this. You eat that fruit, and you'll be able yourself to determine what's good and evil. And that's exactly what's going on in America. Brother, if God says you're not supposed to put the bottle to your neighbor's lip, you're not supposed to put the bottle to your neighbor's lip. You have no right to decide what's good and evil. God's decided what's good and evil. That's what's going on. That's what humanism is. We're making ourselves Bibles, making ourselves God, and recreating God according to our own minds. And it's nothing more than mental idolatry is what it is. But the truth is, he wasn't really after Eve. He was after Adam. Satan wasn't after Eve. The Bible doesn't say about one woman sinning into the world, but by one man sinning into the world. Satan comes to Eve, and he wasn't after her. He was after Adam. So Eve says to Adam, look what I have. Now you see, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Eve ate that fruit because she was deceived. Adam knew better, but Adam ate the fruit to please Eve. Ladies, you better watch it. You have no idea how much power you have over your man. No idea in this world. The devil knew if he could get to Eve, he'd get to Adam. He was after Adam. Adam ate the fruit. Now then the whole universe is fallen. Wait a minute. Satan was not after Adam. Satan was after his son, Cain. Satan comes to Eve. Eve yields. But Satan wasn't after Eve. He was actually after Adam. He comes to Adam. But that's not his final goal either. He wants to get to Cain. So Cain comes on the Sabbath day and brings his offering to church. And his brother Abel brings of the lamb, picturing the Lamb of God that'll someday come. And Cain says, I'll bring some turnip greens and squash and ears of corn, and I'll bring some fruit of my own labor. And God had not respect to Cain's offering, because Cain's offering was not a bloody offering. And when you stand before God, the only hope you're going to have is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. You join every church you want to join, get baptized, and you have fins, and you look like a mermaid. You go right ahead and take communion until you've got a stomachache with juice and unleavened bread. And you can go across the street over here and let that guy absolve your sins. And you can take your Holy Eucharist, and you can observe your Good Friday and your Lenten season. But brother, when you die and face God, you're going to have to stand on the blood of Jesus Christ or nothing else. Every once in a while, I preach a Sunday night sermon on Sunday morning. So, but oh, what a loving God we have. God said to a little lamb, come here, lamb. Come here, lamb. Go over there and get in the tent door of Cain. I want to give him another chance. And he said, that little lamb, I want you to crouch down there. And if he just reaches his arms out, I want you to jump up. I can't jump like a lamb, but you can't either. And God said, little lamb said, you get in the door there. Because I want to give Cain another chance. You see, God loves you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God brought you here this morning. That's why God brought that lady on that bus the other day. Came from that liberal church in north suburb of Chicago. God wanted to give her a chance. God loves you, and God wants to save you. God does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven and praise Him forever. And God said, little lamb, you get there in Cain's tent door, and I'm going to give him another chance. And God said, Cain, there's a sin offering crouching at the door there. Come on, Cain. Reach out and take him. I want to save you. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I love you. I made you. And Cain did not receive God's provision for his sin. Satan came to Eve. Eve yielded, but he wasn't after Eve. He was after Adam. He came to Adam, and Adam sinned. But Cain wasn't after God wasn't after Adam. He came to Cain, and Cain rebelled and sinned. But God wasn't after Cain. You see, Cain had a boy whose name was Enoch. Enoch built a city, a modern city. It was a city of cattle, art, factories, a modern, sinful, wicked city named Enoch. Here is an entire city given to Satan. Why? Because Eve made a decision back there in the Garden of Eden. Eve was causing the destruction and the wickedness of a city. God wasn't after Eve. He was after Adam. But God wasn't after Adam. He was after Cain. But God wasn't after Cain. He was after a whole city. And brother, cities are destroyed because God's people don't live right. Now you listen to me. I am convinced today that the salt that keeps the old northwest corner of Indiana from the destruction of Almighty God is sitting right here in this room today. Now we have the destruction of a city. So God came, the devil came to Eve, but he got her. But he wasn't after Eve, he was after Adam. So he came to Adam, and he got him. But he wasn't after Adam, he was after Cain. He came to Cain, he got him. But he wasn't after Cain, he was after the city. But wait a minute. That city started a civilization. And that civilization was the entire world. You listen to me. The flood came. And the entire world, except 8 people, was destroyed. The entire population died. And the awful catastrophe of the flood. All because a little lady went out walking one day and had a decision to make. Listen to me. Next time you go into a bookstore and get a NIV Bible, you have no idea what that could cause. Satan comes to Eve, and Eve did not know that day that she was holding the entire world. And here's the carnage of a whole world. Nations destroyed. Bodies floating on top of the water. Animals destroyed. The carnage of sin everywhere. Let me tell you something. You haven't got the foggiest idea the importance of every little decision that you make. Illustration. Abraham sat down one day and said, Sarah, I can't find work. Now, I want to say something, Sarah. Don't you have a baby and you're 90 years old. You understand that, don't you? Said, Sarah, I can't find work. And famine here in the land. We better go down. We think about, let's go down to Egypt. Didn't seem very important. So what? One family going to Egypt? One little decision? But that family went to Egypt. And while they're in Egypt, Abraham's collar got too tight. While they were in Egypt, they hired a little maid. Hiring a maid is no big deal. Abraham is interviewing a little maid named Hagar. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying you make decisions every day that you better fall on your face and beg God to help you, or whole nations can be destroyed. Down to Egypt. No big deal. One family goes to Egypt. Now he's going to interview this little maid. He's going to see if she'll do the job. And she did a good job. That little maid went back to the land of Canaan when they went back. When Sarah couldn't have any children, she thought, she suggested Abraham take that little maid. That little maid was impregnated by Abraham. She became the father, or the mother of Ishmael. And Ishmael became the father of the Arabs. And that decision that Sarah and Abraham made that day to go down to Egypt has caused all the trouble in the Middle East for all these years. And that little one gal he hired, when the personnel department interviewed one little girl. And yet we glibly make our decisions. I just don't like this area. I don't like the cold winters. Well, who do you think does, Buster? I've always wanted to retire and go back home. Well, who do you think wouldn't like to do that? Well, let me tell you something. You have no right to make those decisions. And when you do, you take in your hands all the people that will follow you to come. When Esau came in weary and tired from hunting, he wanted a bowl of soup. Jacob had it. Esau said, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you my birthright for a bowl of chili. I'll get my birthright for a bowl of soup." No big deal. No big deal. Folks, he's at the restaurant ordering. He's deciding what to eat. He gets a bowl of chili, loses his birthright, and fathers a wicked nation known as the Edomites that to this day are causing trouble just because he didn't eat what he should have eaten and ate when he shouldn't have eaten. Now you listen to me. We reckon. Well, I think I'll go home for a semester. Oh, shut up. Doesn't sound like any big deal to you, but it's no big deal when he took a walk that day either. Lot was given the choice of what land he wanted by Abraham, his uncle. And Lot would not have chosen Sodom had they not gone to Egypt. Because the Bible says that Lot chose Sodom and the well-watered plains because it was like Egypt. Listen to me. Listen to me. Lot and his wife sat down one day and said, "Abraham, Uncle Abraham said we'd take whatever land we want. What do you think we'd like to have?" They made a decision. Little decision. Just like you make every day. Where will we buy a house? But there may be a little girl lives next door to you that's going to woo your son one of these days outside the will of God. They go down to Sodom. Lot gets elected mayor of the city, I think. Sodom turns into a bunch of queers. And I want to say it again, brother. If they walk in this room tonight and threaten my life as I breathe my last breath, I'll say it's as wicked as the devil that spawned it. Lot leaves Sodom, goes down to Zoar, takes his wife and two daughters. His wife turns back, looks back, turns to a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters are in Zoar. Lot has sex with both each of his daughters. Each is impregnated by her own father, and each gives birth to a child, one named Moab and one named Ammon. And to this day, the Ammonites and Moabs have been enemies of God all these years. Why? I'll tell you why. One decision one little couple made one day about where they want to live. When the omen Limelech decided to go down because of the famine down to Moab. One little decision. A man stumbled into our rescue mission. An alcoholic. This was his story he told me. He said, I was an evangelist in the South. I went to Tennessee Temple University College those days. I went to school there. I was an evangelist. I said, what in the name of common sense you doing in a rescue mission, a drunk? He said, I was an evangelist, preached revivals all over the South. A man owed me some money. That man worked in a tavern. I went inside that tavern to get my money. I took a drink because the old life came back to me. I took a drink and I took another and another and another until I was an alcoholic and I stumbled into the rescue mission over here. A drunken bum, an evangelist. What happened? He made a decision to walk into a tavern one time. One little decision. That's the way the nations are destroyed. Eve, God hath not said, yes, He has. Eve, ye shall not surely die. Yes, you will. Eve makes a decision, but the devil doesn't stop there. He doesn't have just Eve in mind. He wants to get to Adam. Adam, eat the fruit. Adam did. But the devil didn't have just Adam in mind. He wanted to get to Cain. Cain, bring the fruit of the ground. Don't bring the blood sacrifice. But the devil wasn't just trying to get to Cain. He's trying to get to Enoch, the whole city. And the whole city is destroyed. But the devil wasn't just after a city. He was after the whole world. You say, preacher, you're magnifying it. If Abraham had heard a sermon Sunday morning before he made his decision to go to Egypt, and some preacher got up and said, you could destroy the whole world because of this, Abraham would have said, that's silly. I do not know what your simple decisions that are made are going to cause, but I'll guarantee you this, my brother and sister, they will cause heartache if they're not in the will of God. When you deliberately decide to move. I'm amazed at you people. Well, I want to go spend my last years where it's warm. I can tell you where you can go someday where it's real hot. If you want it warm. You have no right to do anything other than the will of God. When you choose a date because she's pretty, when you get married, she might be pretty fussy, or pretty stubborn, or pretty hateful. But you say, boy, she sure is pretty. I want a date with her. You're praying. You have your whole posterity in your hands. You're praying with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and maybe an entire city or an entire civilization. Just because she's pretty. When you choose a profession to make money, you high school seniors, don't come to see me anymore if you're going to come in saying my goal is to make money. Amen. Just don't come in. Yes. Come on. I don't want to talk to you. There are no unimportant decisions. The house you buy. The job you consider. The girl you date. The day you take off. The flight I take. I choose flights every week. I always bow my head and beg God to help me to choose the right flight. Every week. I'll close with this. Follow me carefully. One day David had a decision. Are you ready for this? He had to decide whether to take a personal day or not. Anybody home? He wanted to decide whether to take a personal day or not. He was allowed 5 a year. I wouldn't want you working here if you'd rather be home than at work. If I didn't believe what I'm preaching, I'd be home right now. David decided to take a personal day. On that personal day, he looked out the window and saw Bathsheba, the beauty queen of the whole country, taking a bath, and the whole nation was destroyed because David decided to take a day off. That's how nations are destroyed. You don't know what that decision means. Whom shall I date? Whom shall I marry? Where shall I live? What job shall I take? What house shall we buy? And yet, here's Eve, casually walking through the garden. Zondervan comes out with a new Bible. Eve reads it, takes it to Adam. By the time he got there, Thomas Nelson was out with a new Bible. Adam takes it to Cain. Reader's Digest was out with a new Bible. Cain takes it to the city of Enoch. American Bible Society is out with a new Bible. And before long, the entire world is destroyed. All because one lady made one decision. These boys here in the second row, this little girl here and this boy, these young ladies here, they deserve more than that. They deserve a mom and daddy that beg God to guide every decision that we make. 36 years ago about right now, Ms. Howes and I were wrestling. And then we fought a bit. We were wrestling with the decision whether to come to Hammond or not. I remember going in the room where our children slept and getting on my knees beside their beds and saying, "Oh my God, the decision we make will affect their lives forever. And who knows how many other lives." Can you imagine what would have happened if we hadn't made the decision to come to heaven? There wouldn't be any Howes Anderson College. There wouldn't be any 800 pastors around the world graduating from Howes Anderson College. Oh God, I don't want to leave our home county. My mother lives 4 blocks from where I live. Mrs. Howes' parents live 22 miles. We grew up in this area. We wanted to stay here the rest of our lives. Oh God, you've got to help us. And lodged beneath the breast in Mrs. Howes' bosom was the embryo of a little baby girl. We didn't want her to be hurt. And I sat beside the bed. Miss Hiles was there, laying down, looked like she swallowed a watermelon whole. And I knelt beside the bed while she was asleep and placed my hand on her body. And I said, "Oh God, inside there's a little one. She can't decide what, or the baby can't decide whether to go to heaven or not. I'll have to decide. We'll have to decide. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We decided to do what God wanted us to do. And thanks be to God. We rolled the old Mayflower van up to our little old house with a heart that was hearts that were broken and pulled out. I want to thank Him today the way He's guided my decisions. I want to thank Him today for the way He's helped me know what to do. When you get 68 years of age, it won't matter a great deal to you. As I said a while ago, Dr. Hudson's at the point of death today. It doesn't matter whether he lived in the south or the north now. It doesn't matter whether he went skiing or snowmobiling. It doesn't matter whether it was 90 degrees or 10 below zero. All that matters now is, did he give his life in the will of God? That's all that matters now. He got Eve, but he wasn't after Eve. He's after Adam. He got Adam, but he wasn't after Adam. He's after Cain. He got Cain, but he wasn't after Cain. He's after Enoch. He got Enoch, but he wasn't after Enoch. He's after the whole world. It's time we got spiritual. It's time we cared about the things of God and realized it's not just your skin, it's the skin of others. It's not just your neck, it's the necks of other people. May God help us to make our decisions on our face in the will of God, our Father.